For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You know I'm not a fan of Northern Kentucky, right there, Dusty?
I'm pretty sure I knew that about
you.
Yeah,
I'm pretty... here's the thing. Cincinnati is a nice town. I will begrudgingly admit there are some really beautiful parts of it. By and large, I don't really think about them the way I think about Baltimore or Pittsburgh. But as it goes, as AFC North adversaries go, Solomon's one of my favorite people to talk to. Because I don't know about you, but we were just talking about how it was back in our day off the air, and Solomon was CBS to me. Like, I distinctly remember him being on the NFL coverage for all the AFC North matchups, especially mm-hmm. Browns and Bengals. And when I hear him, I know he's not on, I know he's like on a different path now, but it's he kind of does remind me of football in a way. Like, it's him, it's the pregame show as hosted by, by James Brown, like the whole Wrecking Crew, like, when you talk to Solomon, it does feel like football's back.
Yeah, it just feels like CBS, you know, because back when he was calling a bunch of games, and you hear his voice. I mean, it's just a recognizable voice. NFL Network, Sirius XM.
Did you do what I do? I would watch the Fox pregame because I did love the Fox pregame, and then I'd flip over.
Like between CBS and Fox on Sundays?
Yeah, so I'd watch the pregame of Fox and then obviously flip over to the Browns game for the actual thing.
I'd watch both.
Okay.
Depending on what's going on.
But, the big decider was James Brown. When JB was on Fox, that was like my favorite thing with all those guys. Went to CBS, it took me a minute to kind of cross over, but I eventually got there, and then obviously I started to realize the NFC game was going to be, and then I'm not anti-NFC. It's just I was focused on the AFC growing up. That's where my concerns were. I just don't know about the AFC North. I don't know about the AFC at large. Like last year, we were saying the same things about the AFC North and the AFC at large, and really only the hype came through on the AFC North. The AFC North fulfilled its promise. Every team was above 500. The Bengals missed the playoffs by one game. The Steelers came back from looking like they were going to fall apart to being in the playoffs. Browns made the playoffs. Obviously, Ravens made the playoffs. Ravens hosted the AFC title game. But the rest of the AFC, I agree that the AFC is loaded with quarterbacks that we have all thought are franchise quarterbacks. It's kind of a, show me year from the AFC, though.
The AFC's been good for a minute, though, no?
Well, no, but it's been good. But, I remember going into last year thinking there are 11 teams that have a realistic claim to being...
11 teams because there's 11 quarterbacks that you think could win it? Yeah.
Yeah, and then, obviously, Cincinnati kind of fell back, but they did end up 9-8, so they weren't that bad. But Houston kind of leapfrogged. Jacksonville fell apart at the end of the season. So I kind of think this is one of those years where if the AFC really does live up to the hype, if there are, we had a guest on, and I cannot remember who it is for the life of me, but it was a great guest. They were wonderful. They did great stuff on our air last week that said they see it's one of the number guys.
Just say what you're going to say and maybe
Austin
I'll remember.
Mock? Say what you need to say. Say what you mean to say. I think it was Austin Mock said he sees 11 teams realistically that could make the playoffs in the AFC. So it feels like we're right back in that. And if that is true, if we actually live up to that, where there are three or four teams that we could look at and go, in the NFC, you might be the 4 seed or the 3 seed. If that's true, it's really tough to believe Mahomes is going to be a three-peat.
A three-peater?
If this is finally the gauntlet. It was a tough conference last year. It wasn't 11 teams that could push the Chiefs, the Chiefs and 10 teams could push him last year.
I think Mahomes is a different animal, though. Is he not?
Yeah, I mean, but
because he's the one that even though they've got all these other great quarterbacks in the AFC, I just don't think there's anybody quite like him.
So, yes, but the formula to beat that quarterback is the same thing it is to beat Joe. Like, if you can beat Joe Burrow, and again, maybe your margins are
pressure
thinner.
Him?
Well, yeah, no. It is pressure with four, drop seven into coverage, and then have an offense that can score points against, honestly, a pretty damn good Kansas City defense.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I still think the Browns have that formula. I wouldn't put the Browns in the top three of teams I expect to ruin the three-peat. The Bills have to be there because of what they've done the last few years. I'm sure people would put the Ravens ahead of the Browns. Maybe the Browns could be top three. Because I don't think Cincinnati has the... I think they've got two really nice edge rushers. I think that defense takes a step back this year. I've never been a Sheldon Rankins fan. I know it's a different role. He's not directly taking over for DJ Reader. I don't see how you subtract DJ Reader and get better. Like he and Alex Highsmith are the two guys, and I'm like, damn, I wish that dude played for here.
Yeah, no kidding. Be nice to have somebody.
Browns could have had DJ Reader this offseason. But they, in fairness, I like what they did. That sounded like a shot. I just really like DJ Reader.
Who doesn't?
But how do you see the AFC North stacking up?
Do you want me to like rank the teams, or do you just want some analysis from the outside looking in?
I do not want power rankings. I don't want to infringe on the Morning Boys bits. We've already gone at Lima once today. Just kind of a high level.
It's real simple. I think Baltimore's the team to beat.
Do you think all four teams will be back? Do you think all four teams could make the playoffs this year?
I think all four teams will be good enough, but there's going to be little slip-ups along the way that's going to be, make it very interesting to see who makes it. I think three teams make it.
It would not surprise me if the difference between the best team in this division and the worst team was like a game or two.
Yeah, and I think we're going to like sort of cannibalize ourselves in the AFC North. Like, I think it's going to be very even.
So I think that's actually what's fascinating. Going to 17 games, and this will certainly be the case at 16 games, we're getting to the point where divisional games are only one-third of the games you play. When divisions really started taking shape, like the divisional rivalries, if you actually kind of chart the NFL, they didn't really start to cement until like the AFL and NFL became one. So it's like the 70s. Like the early 70s are when like Cleveland and Pittsburgh really took off as a rivalry. When Philadelphia and Dallas, the root of all these rivalries is like right around that time. I kind of look at this division and I kind of look at this thing and I'm like, I don't know. So my point, I finally can finish making my point there because I ADD'd out. There was six divisional games then out of 14. And then we went to 16 games. So it's 6 of 16. Now it's 6 of 17. Eventually it's going to be 6 of 18. I think it kind of diminishes the importance. I think if you really hate the 18-game schedule, if you don't like the 17-game schedule, I think one way you can spin it is you can be below 500
and win your division
yeah. comfortably.
I mean, these divisional games are absolutely vital now.
Yeah. Well, but I think they've lost a slight bit of their luster because of that. That's why, like...
Well, explain. So you think they're not as important as is in the past because we have more games?
Yes.
And we still got to win the division.
Yeah, but you can go 2-4 in the division, in like this division, and if you kick everybody else's ass, you can still come out on top.
Sure, but if you also have a bad year, yet you somehow play well in division, you give yourselves a chance.
No, like this is it. So it kind of goes back to the Mahomes thing.
Yeah.
If you beat Mahomes in the regular season, there's no way we're not all saying Super Bowl or Super Browns. After that win, right?
100%.
Yeah. And I kind of feel like cumulatively, if you go 3-3 is kind of, if you go 4-2 or better in this division, that's another sign. That's another thing we can point to and go, well, okay, maybe you won 10 games this year instead of 11, but four of them came in the division. That's proof this team can go farther.
Potentially. I mean, this division is, like I said, really, really good. Like, do you think would you be surprised if the Browns won the division?
No, I don't.
Probably going to come down to like one game.
I'll also be honest with you. I wouldn't be surprised if the Browns were in fourth place, but they were 10-7 and in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think it's certainly possible. I think the fourth place team, and right now, I mean, I think Baltimore has a narrow margin over the rest of the teams, but not that much, man.
I mean, I think the difference between the Browns...
And they're one hit away from being out of everything because of Lamar.
Yeah, I think the Lamar injury stuff is still valid. Same thing with Joe Burrow. I mean, listen, I honestly think the only difference between the Browns and Ravens right now, I think from beyond the quarterback, I think the Browns have a better roster. And
I think you're right about that.
And I think
overall,
if Deshaun is healthy and Lamar is healthy, I think that means the Browns are going to be the better team. And so right now, because I can't count on that until Deshaun does it, I have the Browns and Ravens 1A, 1B. I have Cincinnati more of a 2. And I really do think, like, I think Joe has to be exceptional this year. I think if you take, again, if we're just going, you know, running backs on, if we're taking the starting quarterback out of it, I think there are two tiers of teams in the AFC North. And I could not tell you who I think has a better roster between Cincinnati and Pittsburgh. I'd probably give it to Cincy, because even though their edge rushers are maybe a half step off Pittsburgh's, both, all four are elite, and Cincy has two elite wide receivers. But I don't trust either offensive line. I think Pittsburgh's D-line's going to be better than Cincy. Secondaries? Okay, you got Minkah Fitzpatrick. I still don't like a lot of the dudes in Pittsburgh's secondary.
I feel like we don't even know who those guys are.
Like, no, definitely. And then, in fairness, it's been that way for a while.
It's been a lot of like random dudes playing corner.
It's
for
been
the Steelers.
James Pierre. It's been dudes like that. It's I was gonna say we know Joe Hayden, but it's been
it's
Joe
funny,
Hayden
though.
The second
like,
half of his career.
They're always like solid though.
Yeah.
In the back end. I think that part of that's Tomlin's background.
It has to be. It has to be.
He makes sure that he's got his fingerprints on the secondary, always.
Well, it's
same
like
with Nick Saban.
It's like Kyle Shanahan. It's like Kyle Shanahan can't have a bad offense because he knows that's why he got hired.
Yeah.
Mike Tomlin's like, no. I coach that position. I'll turn five zombies into good corners. 216-474-0092. But I think I do think there's two distinctly different tiers of talent in this division. I think in the end, coaching matters so much that I think Tomlin's going to have this team, that Pittsburgh team, where it doesn't belong, which is probably a game or two off either the Browns or Ravens. But like, I think it's Browns and Ravens, and I think you can sell me either team. I think a lot of people are more high on the Bengals because Lamar's coming off an MVP and because they did win the AFC title. I don't think that team was an AFC title. I think once we got in the playoffs, we saw that that's not an AFC title contender last year. They just did what you should do, which is they took care of the regular season. We head out to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Welcome on host of the opening drive on SiriusXM NFL Radio. Also part of the Believe in Bengals podcast. Longtime NFL player as well. The great Solomon Wilcott joins us now. Solomon, welcome to the show, bud.
Welcome to the show, and thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Always great to be on with you guys. And I'm afraid now you guys may have the upper hand on my Bengals because the Cleveland Browns are taking off. Boy, do I like the look of this football team.
See, it's funny. You hate that, but we love that. What specifically do you love about this Browns team?
You know, there's so many things because I'm a huge Amari Cooper fan. I love the way... You know, Andrew Berry, you know, we always have a saying, at least Mike Tomlin does, that we want volunteers, not hostages. And you see around the league, these wide receivers are expecting to be paid, and many teams have decided to hold their players hostage, right? No, Andrew Berry said, no, we're going to do right by Amari Cooper, make sure that as he came into camp, we know how good he is, a great route runner, phenomenal receiver. They made sure he was taken care of, that he's happy coming to work. And I think that's how you build a football team. You're giving your team a chance to win. And, of course, being a secondary guy, I love the way the Cleveland Browns have constructed their secondary. You guys got three starting corners. Most teams don't even have one.
Solomon, you talk about your Bengals there.
and the fact that the Browns may be better than the Cincinnati Bengals. Well, I'll tell you this much. I think our quarterback has better hair than Joe Burrow. What's going on with this guy coming to camp with the crazy hair?
You know, Joe Burrow's one of these guys. I'd like the look. That's that Slim Shady look, you know, from Eminem.
Yeah.
He likes his hip-hop. He loves to have fun. The guy's a true leader. Tell me when is the last time you've known a quarterback because he understands how to take care of his body and rest and restoration. He's in bed by 8 o'clock every night during the season. So I love that kind of guy. We all know he's a winner. But he likes to have fun, and he cut his hair, so did Jamar Chase. Now, that's a new one.
Solomon Wilcott's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So, you know, it's interesting. After, you know, multiple big injuries, we started doubting Lamar Jackson's ability to stay healthy. Last year, stays healthy, wins his second NFL MVP. With Joe, The wrist injury is his second major season-ending injury. Why hasn't Joe's ability to stay healthy, why isn't this a bigger conversation? And maybe in Cincinnati, is it a bigger conversation?
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone! Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one!
Or track pick number one!
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I think because people are realistic. But listen, if I gave you the numbers, you would understand that, and Deshaun Watson, his inability to stay healthy last year, I think Cleveland Browns, you guys used five different quarterbacks to get through the regular season last year. The NFL, all 32 teams used a total of 66 starting quarterbacks last year. The year before, in 2022, it took us 68 quarterbacks to get through the regular season. And Joe Burrow was the one that started every single game for two straight years. So I think we all understand that we're very fortunate if our quarterback is still standing when you get to the end of the regular season. That's what people were saying about Tua coming into last year, and he ended up starting every single game. So, look, it happens. We all know that in the NFL, it's not about if you get hurt. It's only a matter of time of when you get hurt. We've seen the great quarterbacks in our league. Aaron Rodgers had been hurt and knocked out for a full season. Tom Brady has been hurt and knocked out for a full season. I don't want to jinx anybody in terms of where it's going to strike next, but it's the realization in our league. And I can tell you that roughly only 7% of the players, whoever play in the NFL, go on to play 10 years or more in the NFL. That means the other 93% are going to play less than 10 years. So allow those numbers to marinate for a little bit, and you'll understand that snake's going to bite you at some point in time, no matter who you are.
Well, you talk about those numbers. I think those numbers will go down, especially when they get to this 18-game season, which is what they're talking about, and it could be happening in the next several years. As a former player myself and yourself, Solly, I can't imagine playing 18 games.
I hate to correct you. Those numbers are going to go up. The percentages are going to go up. The number of starting quarterbacks to get to an 18-game season will increase from what it was it took you to get through a 16 or a 17-game season. And so when the NFL says, you know, that they're about health and safety, how can you say that as you keep adding games? It's going to take more quarterbacks to get through a regular season when we play 18 games.
Solomon, looking to the Browns here, one of the big conversation points, obviously Deshaun Watson, and, you know, as good of a roster you have around the quarterback, if your quarterback can't stay healthy, well, you're probably not going to go very far. So when it comes to Deshaun, though, and we're now going on the third season here in Cleveland, his last truly great season was 2020 in Houston. Have you written off Deshaun playing like he did in Houston again in the rest of his career?
No, I have not written him off. And it, look, You know, part of it's because he sat out on his own. Part of those games he missed, he was suspended. And then last year, he had a fractured shoulder. And I think he even played his final game. He actually played with the injury and played through it. And, man, I'm telling you, he was starting to shake off the rust. The rust was coming off. There's going to be still a good football player inside of Deshaun Watson. He has one of the best offensive lines in football. He has one of the best run games in football. He's got a coach who's a two-time Coach of the Year award winner calling plays for him. And I think he's got one of the best defenses. As we say, a defense is a quarterback's best friend. I think he's got one of the best defenses in the NFL. So I think Deshaun knows that as long as he plays he doesn't have to be a hero. He doesn't have to play hero ball. He's got to protect the football, not turn it over, lean on the run game, and then allow his receivers and playmakers to make plays for him. He's got one of the best tight ends in David Njoku, and I think a trio of wide receivers that are going to be tremendously productive. So I think that's what it's got to be early in September and October. And then as you get deeper in the season and the games become more meaningful, he's going to have to be able to play his best football by then. That's how I would look at it, because I still see him as a potentially really, really good quarterback. I don't know if he can ever get back to what we saw in 2020 with so much time missed, but if he can get close to that, guys, and I think we saw glimpses of it last year before he was injured, I think you're going to have yourself a good football team, and I think you're going to have yourselves a really good quarterback.
Solomon Wilcots on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Getting you ready for Browns training camp. It is here. The team leaves for West Virginia tomorrow. And then, of course, the fun begins. So, Solomon, how do you look at the AFC North? How do you think these four teams stack up heading into training camp?
If you guys go back to the start of this decade, from the 2020 season through last season, the AFC North, has won more games than any other division in football. They continue to just turn out one heck of a product, all four teams. In fact, last year, as you well know, all four teams finished with a winning record. That hadn't happened in our league since 1932. And that's the reason why Hard Knocks decided to cover not just one team in the division, but the entire division. And that's one of their in-season products, where they're going to show Hard Knocks. All four teams are going to be the focus of the Hard Knocks show, and it's going to be in-season in the month of December through the playoffs. And that's why I think it's going to be a lot of fun, but that's why they showed up, because it is the toughest division in football. There's no doubt about it. I can't tell you who's going to win it. And I can tell you this, there may be only a couple of few games, maybe three or four games, that separate the team in first place from the team that's in last place in the AFC North Division.
Solomon Wilcots on the hotline with us. Solomon, Amari Cooper just extended his deal sort of restructured his deal, I should say. It's still, he's got a one-year deal. As he's going to be in his 30s, do you still see a lot of production from Amari Cooper?
That's because he's a great route runner. When he came out of Alabama, he started as a true freshman there. This guy is a phenomenal player. He's a phenomenal story that we don't talk enough about around the National Football League. Amari kind of keeps to himself. He's quiet. But I'm going to tell you guys, he's a stone-cold killer. This guy, everywhere he's been, he's a great route runner. He creates yards after the catch. He can create big plays in terms of his sight adjustment. He knows how to break his routes off based on what coverages he's getting. So he reads coverages very well. We're talking high-level stuff. And I think that's the reason why Andrew Berry went and rescued Jerry Jeudy from the Denver Broncos, had to get him out of there. And it's hard to be a consistent receiver when you're playing with a number of different quarterbacks, and particularly when you're playing with bad quarterbacks, and that's what they've had in Denver. But think about what Amari Cooper did last year. He pretty much played with four or five different quarterbacks, but his consistency remained. He had over 100 yards receiving in five of those games and over 200 yards receiving against a really good Houston Texans defense. He's one of my favorite receivers in this league because he's capable of doing even so much more. But whenever you get a consistent quarterback playing with him and a consistency throughout the season, you're going to see those numbers I think, increase even more. So he's one of the truly best receivers we have in this league.
I hate to do this to you, Solomon, but as you are an Amari Cooper fan, you got two pretty darn good receivers down yonder in Cincinnati. What number receiver would Amari Cooper be in Cincy?
He would be two. He'd be behind Jamar Chase, but he'd be ahead of T. Higgins. And only because he has more speed than T. Higgins. But I'll tell you how much we love about T. Higgins, and we're probably going to lose him after this year. He's played for four seasons in the NFL, and through those 4 years, 80% of the catches that he's had over the four seasons have gone for either a touchdown or a first down. Now, I'm telling you right now, that's big-time numbers. Last year, Amari Cooper, he had 72 receptions. Roughly 78% of those 72 catches went for a first down or a touchdown. He had 50 catches that resulted into a first down and five that resulted into a touchdown. So that's 55 catches of the 72 that went for either a first down or a touchdown. So last year, you could say that T. Higgins was maybe a little bit better, but I think overall, there's a reason why Amari Cooper had a five-year, $100 million contract, and I think last year he kind of showed you he's worth every penny.
Solomon, outside of the AFC North, the Chiefs trying to do the unthinkable here, become the first team to three-peat in the Super Bowl. Obviously, I'd love it if the Browns win the Super Bowl. You'd love it if the Bengals won the Super Bowl. But from the historical perspective, for a man that has been tied to this game as long as you have been tied to it, is there a part of you that's rooting for history to see the Chiefs become the first team to ever three-peat in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, because I'm a people person fan. And as long as I've been around this league, I've been able to build relationships with different people around the league. Guys, you're never going to meet a better man who takes better care of his players, better care of the people within his organization. And he's a winner. He's a team builder, and that's Andy Reid. And there's a reason why he's the Philadelphia Eagles' all-time winningest coach. He's now the Kansas City Chiefs' all-time winningest coach. And that's why players want to stay there. So if it happened for Andy, I'd be great and somewhat pulling for him. And even Pat Mahomes, I'm pulling for him. You know, Travis Kelce went to school here at the University of Cincinnati. You guys know he's from Cleveland, from your hometown. So, and those are the things that really allows us to root for people. While we know these games bring great rivalries and we can root against the team that's a rival, but sometimes you have to be a bigger person, right? Just like we have to be in our society. You root for people because you want good things for them because you know they worked for it, they've earned it, and they deserve it. Now, if they go up against the Cincinnati Bengals in one of those playoff games, all those things I just said going to switch back to me rooting for the Bengals. You do know that.
Oh, I think we figured that one out there. Solomon, great stuff as always. Welcome to the return of football. And it's always great to talk to you, buddy. We appreciate you.
All right. You guys keep up the good work. Always great coming on with you. Take care.
Solomon Wilcots on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.